Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Performance Enhancement Expert, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 60 countries, such as the U.S., India, Canada, France, Australia, Belgium, Panama, Malaysia, China. So I want to thank the listeners from wherever you are for listening to the show and joining us today. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to help transform others and elevate the world around us. You can listen to us live Tuesday through Friday at noon Eastern Time. Now, you can join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, and you can subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, and the Google Play Music app. On the show are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, authors, and other amazing content creators that are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of my guests that I bring on the show during our live broadcast, you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. Call in, ask the guest a question, ask myself a question. My team is standing by to field your calls. Please help me welcome to the show my friend, Mark Crandall. What is up, buddy?
Oh, thanks for having me, Sean. I'm really excited to be on your show, man, after our podcast interview.
Yeah, dude. You have a great show called The Purpose Chasers. And we're both in the M1 Mastermind with our millionaire mentor, Rock Thomas, who was featured on Goldcast with like 40 million views of his video. Dude's crushing it, man. So, yeah, man. Happy to have you on the show, and I'm really excited about this. We had an amazing conversation on yours, and dude, I want to dig into your story, man. You have a great, great story.
Well, yes. kind of stumped me there for a second. Yeah, I do have a great story. The outcome of my story is, you know, has been extremely transformational and is absolutely helped a lot of people. So I'm glad that I was able to power through it and not continue to stay stuck in the stories that I created around my story.
Oh yeah, man. So the title of this episode is Transformational Life Through Introspection with Mark Crandall. He began his personal journey of introspection in 2004. At age 3, Mark was taken from his biological mother by the Department of Youth and Families and placed in foster care. Around age 12, he began contemplating whether or not to just give up. His biological parents were in and out of his life with no consistency, and this caused Mark to create many stories and shattered what was left of his self-worth. In his early childhood, Mark's behavior stood out in the eyes of others as not being, quote, normal. He began to engage in criminal activity and act out his aggression at the expense of others and society. Years of counseling and various combinations of medications could not correct the feelings of inadequacy and separation within. Mark began to self-medicate and thus began his substance abuse. It was a long, painful road for Mark and those that surrounded him. Mark was in and out of youth detention centers and other correctional facilities. In his lowest moments, Mark found himself surrounded by individuals who saw greatness in him. In 2007, Mark found a spiritual program of action in which he began overcoming the many traumatic moments of his childhood. He also began the process of repairing the damage that he had caused others through his efforts to navigate life. Through introspection, Mark found freedom in a process that he uses within his transformational life and business coaching and drug and alcohol interventions. Mark is trained in some of the most powerful transformation practices, which he uses in his work with others. His website, Facebook, the podcast, Purpose Chasers, everything is there. The book, everything is there in the show notes. Go ahead and click on those, copy paste them into, you know, your browser, whatever. Go check his stuff out, man. You want to connect with Mark Crandall. So, dude, after reading that, man, a lot of it resonated. You know, as far as alcohol abuse and getting in trouble because of my childhood abuses and things like that. So, the first question I always ask the guests is why? Why, you know, be a speaker, author, coach? You know, why do what you do?
You know, Sean, my first question, or not, I was wondering if you read all that without taking a breath, man. It is awesome. Awesome to know you, man. I, you know, since joining M1, I've been graced with the presence of some hustlers like you. And, it's just been a blessing, man. So it's a real, I just want to express my gratitude for being on your show. And it's an honor to know you and also to, you know, start swapping ideas with each other. So why? Because I would say the main reason that I was called to this, like I didn't choose this, just like you. Like this wasn't, I didn't just wake up one morning and say, oh my God, I like that video. I want to be a transformational speaker. I want to motivate people. Like I was called to this. And so my first intro, this is an old school book. Some of your listeners may know it or not, but I was in county jail and I read a book by a man named David Peltzer called A Child Called It. And it's about his internal struggles with adoption, childhood abuse, right? And so that didn't resonate till like for like 4 or 5 years later. It's actually two more trips into incarceration settings for that to really resonate with me. But what happened to me, I was talking about this morning with Tara, another M1 member who's helping me get my message clear. What happened to me was just this epiphany that happened in prison. And I realized like I had been living my entire life based off of these stories that I attached to my past. Right. And so I was, you know, I was this or I was that. Like I was handcuffed and locked in a closet at 3. Right. And then I just attached so many stories off of that situation that happened that it was preventing me from living my full potential. So why I'm doing this, why I believe I've been called to this, is to help individuals, empower individuals to break free from their past so that they no longer have to live in it and so that they can create the futures of their dreams without being restricted by whatever happened to them.
Very cool. Dude, I like that a lot, man. I think that people live in the past, though, right? Would you agree with that? Like, people sometimes just live in the past, or they keep bringing up the past, or they can't get over whatever it is that is holding them back, you know, whether it be a bad breakup or somebody wronged them, or they just don't think that they're good enough, so they just stay in that same state. I believe that people live in the past more than we think.
They absolutely do. And you know, I'm not going to speak for any of my clients that I've worked with, but I'll speak from my own experience. Like I lived in the past. I can still live in the past. You know, I've talked to you about this, Sean. Like I have 4 felony convictions on my record. And, you know, in 2004, when I started this path of introspection, like it plagued me. You're a convicted felon. You're a ward of the state. Like you were given up by your family, by your biological parents. Like you're a drug addict. You're an alcoholic. Like you're never going to be anything. And the reality of it was I wasn't living that way. So therefore I wasn't that. And so that's the distinction that I really got. Like I'm not a felon. I, you know, I served my time. I don't live like that anymore. You know, and it's right. There's something, you know, in the rooms of recovery that has bothered me for years since I've been in recovery. And that is, I say, I am an alcoholic. I am a drug addict. Well, no, I'm not. I don't live that way. And so it's the association that keeps, you know, I kept re-traumatizing myself by going back to these belief systems and attaching to the stories that I created, really so I could just keep the circle going and stay living there.
Mm-hmm.
It was a long answer for yes, most people do live in the past.
I love it. No, man, it's good, dude. It's good. So what would you say, I mean, because there's a lot here that we could unpack, right? So give me a transformational moment or two that really have set your life onto the path to what you're doing right now. You know, joining M1, transformational life and business coaching, you know, you speak on stage. I mean, what were those moments that put you on the path to what you're doing right now?
So it's one keyed in moment that I had, right? And this is back in, oh man. I mean, your listeners could look up the article that was written about me. I would say 2009, maybe 2009, I want to say. We'll go with that. Whatever. Maybe I'm a year off. I forget. Right? And so I wanted a job. I was getting my bachelor's degree in human services at the time so that I could, you know, empower people. I used to say help people, but I don't believe that anyone needs help. I believe that they need empowering. And I was getting my bachelor's degree and I really wanted to break into the field, but I had, you know, like I said, I had 4 felony convictions. Like, I didn't have a great work history. I had all of these limiting beliefs about myself, but there was something in me, you know, call it the universe, God, spirit, whatever your listeners, I call it God, you know, I don't want to freak any of your listeners out, but that's what I call it, that was guiding me to do this, right? So I walked through the hoops, I filled out the job application, and every day that I was going through this process, it was about a week process that I went through before I landed an interview, every day I would go through the mental barriers, right? The false beliefs, the beliefs that had limited me for years, you're not going to get it, you're a felon, they're going to find out, they know what you used to be like. They know where you come from. But I just kept walking through it and walking through it. And I sent my, you know, I sent my application over. I sent my resume over. I was honest on them. Yes, I'm convicted of 4 felonies. Got a call. We'd like to interview you. And I had a couple ins. 2 of my professors worked over at this facility. We'd like to interview you. So there I go. And it is a job working in the youth detention center in Manchester, New Hampshire, for the state of New Hampshire. Completely unheard of for a convicted felon to be hired by the state.
Right.
Right? And I walked into the interview and I smashed it, because, I mean, I show up. Like, when I mean, we've had conversations. I think that's why we click so well. Like, when I show up, I'm all in. I'm about to rock something. Like, we're getting excited. You know, I'm getting primed in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
I walked in, I rocked it, I got a job offer. And I went through the whole process and I got hired there. Somebody looked up my background somewhere along the way. Somebody got, the story goes by other people, I don't care. Somebody looked up my criminal record and found out that I had some felony convictions and went to the local newspaper and they wrote an article about me. And it said, convicted felon or convicted burglar counsels youth. And it was printed on the front page. They'd been reaching out to me to help them with the story. Printed on the front page of the Sunday News. And I had a shift that Sunday. So it came out Saturday night. I walked into work on Sunday and people were like, what are you doing here? Didn't you read it? And I was like, yeah, they did a good job, didn't they? And I just went to work. And it was at that moment right there, I got goosebumps right now as I'm telling you this, Sean. At that moment, I knew that there was absolutely nothing that could not take place in the realm of God's world. If I showed up, like, my limiting beliefs were false. There was absolutely nothing that I could not achieve. And I was hired by the state. So that was the first moment out of a host of situations that have transpired that, you know, a lot of people in society would say you can't do, or I used to tell myself I couldn't do. It was at that moment.
Wow. Yeah, man, I just, you never know, man. You never know what's going to happen. You never know, you know what I mean? It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the divine intervention or whatever you want to call it. You know? I definitely believe that God leads people. So.
Yeah, man, it was crazy because this is the second time that I've talked about this story today, and it still blows me away. I had mentors at the time who were no longer mentoring me, telling me that I wouldn't get it. You know, I had other people that were working in the field that were saying, you know, I should take an easier route. But you know me, and I know you, like, we're not easier route kind of guys. You know, we're going to go do it. And that's what I did. And I haven't stopped since.
Yeah, very true, man. So you have the podcast, you have the book, you speak on stage and all that. So what is it about that stuff that draws you in? Is it transformation that you have in other people's lives? Is it the fact that you have the power to transform lives, or you, I mean, like, I know what it is for me, man. You know, if I'm speaking on stage or I'm doing this show and somebody says, oh my God, my life was changed because of this show. My life was changed because you said something that resonated with me. Then that gives me value. Like, I feel value. You know what I'm saying? So what is it for you, man? What draws you to this, to what we do?
Man, I have, you know, I've gotten all the, you know, we were talking about it before the show started, you and I, and I've received so many Facebook messages, you know, personal letters that have been written to me, you know, people writing reviews on my book, and it's just really empowered me to know that, you know, as dark as my past is, that it has shined some light for other people. But I'm sure it's very similar to you. I do this because if the lights come on for one person and one person taps into their true potential and starts living a truly fulfilling life, I have served my purpose. It is not about the fame. It is not about the fortune. It's not about how many stages I hit, how many books I sell, how many followers I have on Facebook. It is, actually, I'm going to share this. I got a message from my friend Lindsay yesterday, and she said, hey, I really enjoyed the interview that you did with that man, Sean, on your podcast. Please keep doing it. I really took some good nuggets from it. It's that. Like, Lindsay's in the realm of the transformation. She's not a broken human.
Right.
You know, I do this for, like, those messages. But more than that, I do this because this is what I was called to do.
Right.
You know, back in 2004 when, you know, I got out of the grips of drug addiction and incarceration and suicidal ideation, I turned my life over to spiritual practices, and those spiritual practices guide me. And I owe it to those practices and God within to show up, suit up, and do what I'm guided to do. That's why I do it. And because I get fired up.
Yeah. I see, man, dude, when I'm coming on stage, you know, and people always ask, they're like, man, don't you get nervous before you go on stage? Like, how do you combat the fear? And how do you – that just comes with experience and confidence and everything else. But I still get nervous. I still like freak out a little bit. I'm like, oh my God, okay. And I have my routines, right? I have my breathing techniques and I have my mindfulness and like I do all that, you know. But in the first like 10 seconds of me going on stage, it's like the audience is kind of nervous because they're like, they want you to succeed and they don't want you to fail. And I'm trying to succeed and I'm trying to gain their attention. And I'm, you know, so it's like this jockeying for position, right? But it's like once you get comfortable, once you get into the rhythm, once you get into, you know, the asking questions and you're going through your talk, you know, it just, that stuff fades away, man. It's like you're having fun, you know? And oh, man, I love the, like, I'm about to do this. Like, I'm about to go on. Like, I'm about to, like, that moment, that anticipation and anxiety, that's what I love the most. Because some people freak out and they're scared. I turned the scared into into anticipation, excitement, because, you know, we learn in M1 that you are the only one who can give meaning to every single situation. So if I'm freaking out, what does that mean? I'm excited, not scared. I'm anticipating transformation, not, you know, scared of failure or whatever. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally, man. The other side of that fear is greatness. You know it.
Yeah.
I mean, I get scared every time as well. And I hit that, you know, I get quiet. As soon as I get on stage, I express gratitude and then I get quiet. And then it's like the lights come on and it's, mm-hmm. I'm about to kill it. You know what I mean? The same as you. I've seen your videos of you in action. It's going down. Like the heart's about to roar and the fear's gone. And before I know it, I'm running out of time, but I have so much more that I want to say, but I need to get off the stage. You know what I mean?
I'm already 45. Crap.
Yeah. Most people live their life in that and don't take the actions, but I would challenge any of your listeners to just take that action and walk through the fear, because the other side of it is just this. My heart is so full on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah, man. You know what's funny about that is that, you know, people just give a 2-hour keynote. You're like, how? That's crazy. And then you're up there and it's like, wait, it's already been 45 minutes? Like, what happened? You know, so I can definitely see when you're on stage. Yeah, dude. I can definitely, 2 hours? Yeah, I can definitely. But when you're in the audience, like, it's like 2 hours. Like, how's that possible? So, speaking is my most favorite thing to do. And podcasting is my most second favorite thing to do. Because you never know. I got a message yesterday, man. I sent my TEDx talk out to a bunch of people, you know, and I said, would you mind sharing it, whatever? And this lady's like, oh my gosh, like, I need this because my son is going through suicidal ideations right now and he needs to listen to this. And I know he can do it. And I'm trying to teach him and I'm trying to like pick him up, but he's just so sad. And I'm like, wow, like nothing, I don't believe anything is coincidence. Nothing. Nothing's coincidence.
No, there are missed opportunities though from people living in the fear that we were just talking about.
Yep, I believe that. Yeah, if we ever talk about saying, you know, say yes and figure it out.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm just super grateful to be around you and you know, I'm not going to name drop the other individuals that are in that pod that we just created inside of our mastermind, but you know, it's a group of people that have been called to this life purpose and we're movers and shakers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So tell me what you're doing now. You know, I mean, you talked about, you know, I do the podcast and I, you know, speak whatever, but go in depth, man. Let's learn about how you're using your past and using your experience to transform. I'm live, man. What are you doing now? Talk about your podcast. What's it about?
It is crazy that you ask, because I just did an hour call with a woman to help me dial in my message. And this is so fresh, man. So what I'm currently working on is my second book, which is titled roughly titled right now, From Victim to Victor. And it's going to outline the difference between being a victim and playing one. And playing a victim is what I did for many, many years. And it kept me really small. And I never really truly experienced the greatness of life. And so what I've really been working on with my coaching clients and in that book is teaching people and educating people and challenging people to look at their internal dialogue. And how our internal dialogue is how we speak to the world. Like what we say to ourselves is what we say to the world through our actions, through our words. And so helping individuals to gain empowerment around their past traumas to rewrite the way that they speak to themselves so that they can tap into what I have. And so like you shared, our podcast, or you know, yours is on air. Mine's not as fancy. We were talking about that earlier. Mine's recorded and I got to edit it and I got to add my own intros and I might be switching over. This is pretty cool. But I created the Purpose Chasers podcast because I wanted to start a podcast that was devoted to interviewing and providing content surrounding people that were on a transformational path. So people, individuals that were refusing to live the lives of mediocrity and just kicking the door in on societal expectations and the belief systems of the mind and just living extraordinary lives, like going against the grain.
Very cool, man. Very cool. And what do you talk about when you're on stage? Is it just like the overcoming? Is it just the transformation? Or, I mean, does your content change?
So, I mean, I have two main talks that I do. One is the one that I've been doing, and the one that I'm actually doing for the first time in March, unless I get booked here, which. That's why I'm so excited to meet you, because you're like a booking master. I have you and Carolyn in my corner. But the talk that I've been doing is that procrastination is nothing more than a delusion, is nothing more than the delusion that tomorrow is promised. And most people procrastinate because they believe that we're promised tomorrow. And I don't want to share it on your podcast, but I had an experience in my past that really proved that tomorrow is not promised. And when you get clear on the fact that today is the only moment that you have, humans will take actions that they ordinarily would not, based off of the fact that this is the only chance that they have, whether that's a conversation with your parent that you haven't talked to in years, or filling out a job application, or filing an LLC to finally start that nonprofit, or writing the intro to your book, whatever that is. So that's one of the talks that I do. And of course it goes into my past and my childhood trauma and, you know, some realizations that I had. And the other one is what I just shared with you. How we talk to ourselves is how we talk to the world. And it's really talking about the self-esteem that we build with our internal dialogue and how to separate and break the chains of negative self-talk and start living an extraordinary life by empowering yourself.
Mm. Yeah. What if somebody that can't empower themselves though? Like what if they just don't feel that they can do that? Then what do?
You just empower them. I mean, you believe in them. Like anyone can, if they're willing. Yeah. I mean, my experience is, and I think this is a misconception in a lot of transformational realms, and I'm sure you've experienced it, is people go to workshops, they get all fired up, and they think that they're like now like enlightened. You know what I mean? Like I entered the realm of transformation in 2004, and I haven't stopped. I mean, I have consumed thousands of hours of transformational workshops and books and retreats and individual coaching and therapy. And on top of spending at least $150,000 on transformational work. Right. Mm. So it doesn't stop. Like I lived the past of the wounded little boy who turned into an adolescent psycho. This is my internal dialogue. Who was not loved by anyone. That's why two sets of parents gave him away, turned drug addict, turned convicted felon. So I did that for 22 years. It's been a process of smashing the limiting beliefs as they crop up and keeping the right individuals in my corner to help me see that stuff so that I can continue to progress. And I'm way further than I was a year ago. And I'm sure next year I'll be way further than I was this year. That makes sense?
Yeah, man. You know, I noticed that you get more done in 5 years than you think, but you get less done in 1 year than you think. It's really like I have this 1 year goal and I don't really quite hit that goal, but then I have a 5 year goal and I smash it. So, you know, it just works out that way, I guess. Yeah, man, it makes total sense, man. I love what you do. I think that we're on similar paths, and you just bring a, you know, I don't have the plastic care, but you do. You know, I mean, you have the incarcerations. I mean, I was in trouble with the law and got picked up, and you know, cops brought me home a couple times, you know, as a kid. But, you know, you went more in depth than that than I did. So that gives your unique selling point, because you can speak to that stuff. You know, and I think that that there's a lot of people that need to hear your story. A lot of people. So what I really want to know is, through introspection, one, what is that? Because you said through introspection, you found freedom in a process. We'll talk about the process, but what is introspection?
So, and I know you know this, but I'm for any listeners who may not, it's like, you know, in 2004, started a quest of examining myself, right? So you look at like the earliest like spiritual teachers, like Christ or the Buddha, they were examining themselves all through the transcripts of their teachings, right? So constantly looking at their behaviors, constantly looking at their thoughts, and taking actions to overcome those and change those, right? So it's kind of like So when a caterpillar goes into a cocoon, right, and it sits there for a while, you're just noticing that there's something in a spider web or wherever it's made itself, right? But then it comes out as a butterfly. If you ever watched the process of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, like it's a slimy kind of gross process. I don't know if this is a good analogy, but then all of a sudden the shell breaks and there's a beautiful butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in a process of examining myself, my internal dialogue, my external behavior, the way I interact with other people, the way I show up in the world. I'm in a constant process of examining that and trying to improve it. That's introspection. Looking within.
Got it. Yeah, got it. So how did you take this process and mold it to your life to start doing what you're doing?
So I became, I don't even know if it, I think addicted is the only appropriate word. Like I'm a transformational junkie. Like, I absolutely love it. I am on a quest to, and here's why I love it, because it's the same reason why I used to do, you know, drugs and drink alcohol, and why people overeat and some people exercise and, you know, they act out in various ways. It's because the effect produced, it makes me feel good. Right? That's the only motivation I need. It yep. makes me feel good, and it doesn't cause others pain. It actually brings joy to people's lives. And so the more and more I did it, the more and more people would say, like, your story is so powerful, you should write a book. I probably heard you should write a book for 10 years before I actually wrote one, maybe even longer than that. Your story is so powerful, you should write a book. And so I wrote a book, and then I created a course. And at the time, I was counseling people anyway. So I was like, I want to break away from the traditional talk therapy and sitting down with someone and talking about their problems. And I want to start, and I started studying positive psychology, and I started studying the power of taking action. And then I started studying business. And then I met a man at a transformational workshop who said, why don't you start your own company? And I was like, I don't know how to do that. Well, how hard is that to do? He's like, let me show you. And I started my own company, and come to find out, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm really smart at business. Like, I know how to make money. I know how to set up systems so I don't have to work that much. Mm-hmm. And I finally, I'm at a place right now where I don't want to do anything other than create content. I just want to create content. I want to write books. I want to create courses. I want to release videos. I want to write blogs. I want to just conduct my podcast. And I do it because of the message, like you shared when you shared, you said you shared your TED talk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who I'm going to touch. It's not all the people that like my Facebook page, but it's that one message And I've got, you know, I've got a mailbox full of them, of individuals saying, thank you for saying that. That really moved me. So,
yeah.
That's why.
You know, that's got to be a great feeling, man. I have a clipboard, like a, you know, push pin cork board, whatever the hell you want to call it. And it's filled with like cards that I've gotten and pictures and, you know, people. Like I got one sitting right here, man, from my buddy Jeremy. He runs a podcast group. And he's in Turkey. He's in Istanbul. And he sent me a postcard. He's like, man, I love your passion for your show. Love listening, being a part of the group. I just want to really say thank you. And I'm like, this is awesome. Like, it feels good, man, because like I said, you when you get that stuff, it's the value that you feel that I did that for somebody. Every time I mentor somebody, and they get a TED Talk, or they crush it, or they get a success, I had a hand in doing that. And I just feel amazing when they're like, oh, my God, thank you so much. Like, I couldn't have done it without you. Like, it just makes you feel good. So it's like affirmation. It makes you feel good.
Yeah, I mean, we've only known each other for, maybe 3 weeks now. I like went against the grain and just started reaching out to M1 members to get the most value out of what I paid to be in it. And got on the phone with you. I remember I got on the phone with you and I'm like, dude, this dude is an animal. Like, how do you get? And I'm sitting here like, oh, it's time to step it up. So you've touched me in a way that I can't even express to you. And I know that the TED Talk's coming and I know that, you know, more paid speaking gigs are coming and I'm going to touch more lives. But just knowing you and being around your energy, somebody who's full time in the military and runs a online radio show and has a course and coaches people and drops content and applies to however many places you apply to and shows up for your family and shows up for your job and defends this country, man. Like, I'm just so honored to know you, man. I can't express my gratitude enough. I honestly can't wait until the moment comes when I can bring a massive amount of value to your life just based off of what you've already brought to mind.
Appreciate that, man. Appreciate that. So since we're on that topic, let's talk about influencers, man. Who, like, are you a Gary Vee guy? Like, who do you follow through your work and everything else? Where do you derive inspiration from?
Man, you recently, I know you want me to toot your horn. You don't want me to toot your horn. But really, M1 recently, Carolyn, Jason, you have just really, really fired me up. You know, the first transformational work that I have, you know, that I had read outside of like the Bible was Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins.
Yep. Okay.
And then I got very, very involved in meditation practices and, you know, quieting the mind. But as far as like consuming a ton of content, I don't like, I'm not, I like a whole bunch of people online, but I try not to consume their content because I don't want their work blurring into mine. But there's a couple, I mean, I'm a early, early thought leader psychologist. So I'll just drop a couple names. So there's a man named Werner Erhard who started the S training. I love his work to death. I mean, the S training morphed into his teachings being carried over into Landmark Worldwide. I love his work. James Allen, who I think is one of the greatest thought leaders of our time. Dale Carnegie.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to see, like, another huge influence in my life is Hal Elrod, and just watching him and knowing his story of how, you know, he's the man that started the Miracle Morning movement. and it's morphed into just some amazing stuff now. But just hearing his story of how he didn't even make money for the first 5 years that he was trying to pound his message to the pavement, but he stuck with it.
Yep.
So yeah, you know, just to name a few.
Yeah. You know, when you just said that, I just instantly think Rocky. I mean, I just, no matter how many times you get knocked down, no matter how many times, you know, you feel beaten and defeated, man, you just pick yourself back up and, you know, you just keep going.
Yeah, and you look at this, like, I love hearing it. I've probably listened to it a million times, but you listen to the story of, I think it's KFC, isn't it? Where he had asked 100 different businesses to give him the money to start the company, and it was like the 101st or 103rd business that said yes. Right? Can you imagine?
Okay, yeah.
Can you imagine if he had stopped at 10?
Wow. Yeah.
So it just, I'm not stopping, and I don't happen to, you know, that just doesn't happen to be my experience. Like, I've, you know, been fortunate enough to bring enough value to people's lives that I've, you know, my wife and I are surviving.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is all I ever wanted, was to carry my message and to be able to live. And so just the more I surround myself with, you know, I'm not leaning towards the people that are in the limelight for motivation and inspiration these days. It's building true and authentic relationships. That's why I'm super excited that I joined M1, because I talk to Jason on a regular basis and Carolyn on a regular basis. And I think this is the second time I've talked to you in 2 weeks, even though it's on a live recording, we're still talking. But it's in those interactions, and then the interactions from masterminding and being face to face, belly to belly with someone, that has just really, really motivated me. And to have people on the path that are further than me, it's amazing. When I went to that Tony Robbins event, I was just so full of gratitude, because he's one of the, you know, he's one of the OGs, him, Zig Ziglar, Jim Rohn. Right. They're the OGs, the founders of this movement. And for a long time, I had envy towards Tony Robbins that he was so successful and he had done so much. And being at his event, which I'm glad through, I walked through my own prejudice. Being at his event, I was so grateful. I was full of gratitude for what he's created. Like, I remember listening mm-hmm. to Awaken the Giant Within. And it may have been the first time that I was like, okay, yeah, there is more, and I can do more. And I just consumed more and more and more and more of it. But the more and more and more of it I consume, the more and more of other people's messages come out of my mouth. So I try not to consume too much content, as strange as that sounds.
Well, there's got to be an 80-20 rule. You know, there's got to be an 80-20 rule that says that, you know, you take 80% action on the 20% of the content that you consume. Because a lot of people consume too much content, and then they get analysis paralysis. Like, well, this guy said this, and this guy said this, and I don't know what to do because this other guy says this, and now I'm just stuck. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And, you know, I've got too much to go on now. Well, you got to take action. If somebody says do it this way, then do it that way. If it doesn't work, then change it. You know, but
yeah,
some people don't take action because they consume too much content and they're too busy consuming that they don't take the action because they're in the consume phase. So as long as you hold an 80-20 rule, like every 20% of content that you consume, then take 80% action.
Yeah, I mean, the only, when I go into my content creation phase, which I'm in right now, writing my book, my second book, I don't consume any. So the only content that I'm currently taking in is, you know, the live streams that we get of Rock on a weekly basis, Rock Thomas in our M1 group. Like, that's pretty much it, because I don't want, you know, the more and more and more I take in, the more and more and more is going to go into my book. That's not going to be of my heart and of my mind. You know what I mean?
Right. That's true, man.
Stack of books.
I was gonna say, man, let's talk about resources, man. Let's talk about some books. So, what books have helped you, or what books do you currently read?
So, one of my favorite books, which is going to be probably never heard of by your listeners, is a book called The Transformation of a Man, The Foundation of S, and it's Werner Earhart's autobiography. It's one of the most powerful books I've ever read. There's another book that I'm in called Creating Money, Attracting Abundance. Has nothing to do with money. It's all about an abundance mindset. And then, I mean, I have multiple copies of The Miracle Morning. Mm-hmm. I just love Hal. And, you know, and I have a lot of like early thought readers. I'm not going to name off their books, but you know, I have a bunch of Freud. I have a bunch of Carl Jung. I have some Carl Rogers, you know, early thought leaders.
Very cool.
And then I have, let me drop this real quick. And this is on my next to read book, Carolyn Colleen's Fierce. She gave me that at the Tony Robbins. So I've yet to read it because I don't want her book to make its way into my printing. So I have it. I'm ready. I'm anxious to read it.
Yeah. So I have like Christopher Lockhead, Clay Bigger. Amazing, amazing book about business and category design. You know, everybody talks about, you know, Dale Carnegie, like How to Win Friends and Influence People and like all those books. You know, I think there's a lot of books that go undiscovered that are just absolutely phenomenal.
Books
that I've read recently, like Christopher Lockhead's Play Bigger.
I have not even heard of that.
Steal the Show by Michael Port. Or has something called heroic speaking, and to be mentored and coached and go to his event that he has, it is $20,000. So you will be coached by Michael Port to be the best speaker possible, and it costs you $20,000. That's some goals for you right there.
You sign up?
Yeah, I'm not going to pay $20,000 right now. That's probably not going to happen. I could, but I just don't want to. Not right now, but I bought his book, Steal the Show, which is an incredible, incredible book. Incredible book. Everybody says Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. I say that everybody needs to read The Richest Man in Babylon by George S. Clason.
I got on my
amazing wealth book. Amazing wealth book. Another Christopher Lockhead book is called Niche Down. And it tells you exactly how to niche down to the perfect avatar of who you should be targeting and who you should be talking to. That's a very powerful book. And then, you know, anything by Simon Sinek, right? Leaders Eat Last, Start With Why. Love leadership books. I've read almost all of John Maxwell's books. So that's kind of what I'm into, man. Leadership, transformation, business, you know, The E-Myth, The One Thing. Those are two really, really great books.
Love the one.
Yeah, man. The Fred Factor, really, really great one. So I think there's a lot of books that people, they don't, I mean, they only stick to like Rich Dad, Poor Dad or How to Win Friends and Influence People. Like, yeah, but there's like way, I mean, there's books that are amazing, mind-blowing books that people don't even talk about. So that's
Do you read or Audible?
I read.
You're a reader. All right.
Yeah.
I would have struck you as a reader.
I can't do the audio, man. Like, no, so I'm driving and I'm listening to podcasts, right? Because it's an interaction, it's a conversation, because I'm used to listening to talk radio. But just somebody dribbling on and talking and like, yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. So I don't do the audio books because I just can't get into them and I forget half the information that I just heard like 5 minutes ago. So I'd like to read.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up, man, let's talk about what you're doing now. What kind of new adventures, businesses, family, what do you got going on for 2018?
So, funny that you ask. So I have been studying real estate, and my business mentor, he's been mentoring me and coaching me for about 2 years. We've kind of we kind of hit a plateau where, like, he showed up and he was staying with me for a little while. And he's like, you know, I'll give you free consulting because if I can stay with you. And I said to him, like, I don't think I need any consulting. Like, I'm pretty good. And he just kind of, he shook his head and said, I did my job. Right. And so he's been doing land investing. So he's teaching me about that. So we're going to partner on doing some land investing. Just studying business. I really get fired up about business. My focus for the summer though, is to create opportunities to carry my message through speaking and interview podcast guests. Like, I love doing my Purpose Chasers podcast. I think I probably get more out of it than my listeners do. I just get so much right? from it by being able to ask people that I ask on my show questions that I want to ask.
Very cool. Yeah, I get the same way, man. I mean, I've had guys like, you know, Bruce Buffer from the UFC on my show. Had I not had a show, I mean, why would he even take the time of day to talk to me? You know, I've had Greg Reed and Frank Shankiewicz, who is the co-founder of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. I mean, it's guys like that that have come on my show. And Greg Reed is a oh my gosh, the guy is an amazing speaker. And why would these guys ever come on my show? Or, you know, why would these guys ever talk to me if I didn't have a show? You know what I mean? So they come on the show, we have a conversation, we become friends, like, you know. And I found out that Frank Shankiewicz is actually an Air Force veteran. He served from 60 to 64 as security police. I had no idea. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm an Air Force veteran. I'm like, really? Really? What was your job? And what'd you do? Like, I didn't even know that. Which then propelled him forward into becoming a highway patrolman. So I did, like, it's just crazy, right? So having a podcast just opens so many doors for you as a host. I've been booked on 3 different stages just because of my podcast. Hey, you have a show, come speak at this event, this one. So, you know, there's events that I go to that are podcasting events that I speak at because I have a show. So
yeah, it's awesome. I love doing it.
Heck yeah, man. And you're good at it too. That's the thing. Like, you're good at it.
Yeah, people say I ask good questions, and I feel like I'm just having conversations with people, and I'm like truly inspired and interested in what's come out of their mouth, you know? Especially when you stump a guest. Like when you stump them and you know it's straight from the heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, man, that's why my show is like authentic, genuine conversation. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't want to misconstrue anything. You know what I mean? I want a real, genuine, heart to heart, authentic conversation. That's it. You know, and I think that means a lot more. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So yeah, man. Before we wrap up, let's do a shameless plug. You can plug your friends, quotes, website, Facebook, products, whatever it is that you want. This is your moment. Shameless plug. Go.
I felt shame as soon as you said shameless plug. So you can, I mean, really, you can go to my website, which is markcrandall.net, and you can see everything I do. I mean, I have my podcast in there, the Purpose Chasers podcast. You can have access to one of the ebooks that I have up. You can see my speaking reel on there, and you can also purchase my first book, Eulogy of Childhood Memories, right from, you know, markcrandall.net. I mean, that's really, it's really the easiest shameless plug.
Yeah, man. And the Purpose Chasers podcast is on iTunes. Like, where's everything at?
It's on iTunes. It's on Google Play Store. It's currently hosted on Spotify. But after talking to Sean, I think I'm going to have an off the radio conversation with him about it. I've been doing research on better platforms to host it. It sounds like Spotify might go down, so I need to figure out how to host it somewhere else. But yeah, it's on iTunes and Google Play, and currently on Spotify. Perfect. Working to get it on Spotify. It's not on there yet.
Yeah. Very cool, man. So as we close, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today?
Yes, here it is. It's actually on the back of my business cards. Failure is a word reserved by those that have quit.
Say it again.
Failure is a word reserved by those that have quit. Basically, there's no such thing as failure. The only way that you can fail is if you quit.
Very cool.
Mic drop.
That's a great way to end the show, man.
That's just been my experience, and I know it's yours as well. Like, there's nothing that I can't do if I just keep trying.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely, dude. So I want to thank you for coming on the show, man. You're an amazing dude. Love your journey. Love the transformational moments that you've had so far. You have a great podcast, man. I think you're headed in a solid direction. And, dude, you're just going to freaking transform lives, man. I think that this is what you're born to do, man. You just had to go through all the crap in order to get to this particular moment sitting here with me on Life Transformation Radio. And, you know, the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one, you know, it's all, you know, for transformation.
Well, I just want to thank you for having me on, Sean. It's been a blessing to have met you, and really looking forward to continuing to bring value to your life. And yeah, man, this is the realm of transformation is a really cool place to live. So I encourage everyone to pick up a book, go to a workshop, and just get on it. It's really cool.
Yeah, man. So we'll talk soon, dude. We'll definitely talk soon.
All right, brother.
So, Life Transformation Radio listeners, another amazing guest, another impactful episode. If anything resonated with you, please get a hold of Mark Crandall and look up the Purpose Chasers podcast. It is an amazing show, and you will not find anything like it out there. If anything resonated with you today, you can go to iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, and the Google Play Music app and subscribe to Life Transformation Radio, or right here on Blog Talk Radio, subscribe to Life Transformation Radio. As I close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call that living your brand. So until next episode, have a great night.